Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money at
Menards. This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Sarah Beth Pollock.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Undead Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Beth Pollock, and I am joined today by a whole host of guest hosts, and I'm really excited about this. We're going to be talking about the mid-season finale, the first mid-season finale. There's two this time around. Of The Walking Dead. So this week joining me, I have Adam B. Carlson, I have Johnny O'Dell, and Julian Cannon, and all three are joining me to talk about the mid-season finale, For Blood. So we are recording this before the finale, so if you hear us making strange references, it's because it's not Sunday yet, but you're going to hear this on Sunday, so just kind of keep that in mind. Julian's coming to us live from New York Comic Con, so he's in the middle of that, and the rest of us are just here living our lives. So guys, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for joining me, and I would love to know how you guys are liking things so far with the season. It seems like it went by really fast.
It did seem fast. I kind of like it, actually. It kind of blends the comic storyline with what we have at the Commonwealth, but I was surprised we saw a lot less of that and a lot more of this Reaper storyline, which, for those who haven't read the comics, is not in the comics. It's completely new. So that is really scary, but fun, because you don't know like what's going to happen next. Like, this whole episode had nothing to do with the comics. So it was kind of cool to go on that ride without knowing what to expect.
Yeah, especially for you, because you usually knows what's going on. So this is like
your first time. Thanks for bringing that up. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, the whole episode, I had no idea. I was shocked we got no more Commonwealth stuff. I guess they saved it all for episode 7. They kind of keep going back and forth between those stories. So I guess that makes sense.
Well, and in fairness, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. So it's not to name drop, but I was having a conversation yesterday with a certain executive producer, and we were talking about, you know, that I didn't watch a show until like Sunday night. And I said, I don't even know what day it is. Like, I can't even, there's three shows now. There's all these shows that I have to keep track of. It's really hard. So
it's a lot.
I kind of appreciate that, you know, when you don't have an idea of what's coming, because there's too much. There's too many details right now. There's three shows that are either on or about to come on. And it's a lot to keep track of. It really is.
Yep.
Three shows. And let's thank God that there's not a fourth show running right now.
Don't put that in the universe, Julian.
Oh no,
they'll do it.
I know they'll do it, but let's pray that it will not. We're not here right now watching four shows at the same time.
That's true. Well, Julian, now that since you're joining us, what have you thought of the season so far? We're going to get into the mid-season finale, but what are your thoughts about how things have gone up until now?
I'm very mixed about this season, and I don't say that often. This one is a mixed bag to me, because I feel like the plot has not really progressed at all since the first episode, minus the sixth episode, which I think is the best of the entire season. I'm starting to think that they should have redone a lot of these episodes in these stories in a different way. That's my take from it. But we'll jump into the mid-season finale in a bit, but my overall take for the finale, not for me.
Right. I gotta kind of agree with Julian here on a lot of things. I've been watching this season, and I keep hoping that something can draw me in, because lately it has not been the Reapers. I don't know what it is about that group, the leadership or the storyline. I don't know if it's the whole pulling Daryl away again, or the rehashing of villains and how they're trying to make them look bad. I'm not sure what it is, but the Reapers just haven't seemed to gotten my interest one bit. And I didn't really care about that storyline at all. On the other hand, as a comic reader, I want to learn as much as possible about the Commonwealth. I want to see some of this stuff pay off. I want to see where some of these stories change direction, because a lot of what happened in the comics can't happen due to characters shifting around. And I want to see that. That's where my focus is. And I'm hoping that this whole Reaper stuff comes to an end pretty quickly, because I'm not feeling it.
Let's also give some props to the actor that plays as Sebastian. He is very believable as Curtis Droh.
Yes, he's very awful. I agree. You know, it's hard for the Reapers to live up to how scary they were when, you know, they have that awesome theme music, by the way, like, you know, almost John Williams-esque, just, you know, marching towards Negan and the gang with those like giant axes and the masks. And ever since they've kind of been unmasked, it's been kind of like a little underwhelming. They're like, oh, they're just like a weird religious cult. The best part of the Reapers for me, I mean, Leah's been really interesting. I do enjoy her character, as frustrating as she is, but is Pope. And I thought Pope was really interesting. I really wanted to see more from him. I am shocked.
The 8-minute monologue wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for you.
I guess I got a lot. I know people are frustrated with him and they're over him. I get it. But I was like, there's gotta be more to this guy, but I guess not. He's gone. So I was shocked, but you know, I do say a lot of times in the previous seasons of Walking Dead, you know, the seasons 6, 7, 8, a lot of people's problems with it is that they just kind of held on to storylines way too long. So I'd rather cut them short than, you know, leave it lingering.
And let's be honest, following up the Whispers with anything wasn't going to be easy. The Whispers, in my opinion, are, I enjoyed that storyline in the comics so much. I felt like they brought that to life really well. And that,
yes,
Alpha, just an amazing character that brought forth a lot of cool emotion and lack of emotion as well. And that balance I thought was really, really fun to watch play out on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they went, I really feel like they went backwards, because if you thinking back to the pandemic episodes when that guy blew himself up, I mean, I was,
oh no, like, don't talk about that grenade again. I still hate that grenade.
My Lord, can we forget that episode ever happened, please?
Grenade aside, I'm not talking about how it happened. I'm just talking about the mindset of like, this is a dude who just pulled the pin and was like, boom. Like, I wanted to know, like, who are these people? Like, what's going on? And then Maggie arrives in the, you know, and starts telling everybody in the season premiere, you know, these people are so bad, they're so bad. And then we meet them and it's like, okay, these guys are pretty, like, you know, they're stringing people up and there's a lot of stuff going on. But it seems like they went backwards. Like, they started out really interesting and really terrifying and you know, like they could really do something. And
my major problem was that when Maggie disappeared and they had her go to that new group, they gave us no reason to care about that new group. None at all. And then when we hear they're all slaughtered, we're like, okay,
yeah,
fine.
Deal.
I agree. Yeah, they were kind of, they were just like random extras, they seemed like. Like, girls like, you want to smoke? Guy's like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I used to smoke a while ago. And you're like, this guy's supposed to be terrifying? Like, I don't know. I would have thought they were going to be a little bit more feral or something, because that's kind of how they made it seem, is that these people are wild. They're unpredictable. They're nuts. But really, they just have no place to go and they're just following this crazy guy named Pope. So,
you see, the moment they took off those masks, that was it for me to believe them as a
threat.
That's
what I'm saying.
I was like, wait, what the hell is this? Am I watching a different group here? Is this the same group that attacked them in the forest? Oh, no, they're not. They're a bunch of people who are religious or in a cult, led by a man who I do not take seriously at all as a villain. Sorry, one of the worst fucking villains I've ever seen on my TV.
Really?
It was so bad.
Wow.
Hold on, let me continue. I was so freaking happy that he was killed off, but also pissed because he talked all that game about, oh, we're going to mark Maggie. How about you explain why you did it other than food? Like, what was the story of this? What was it?
I'm sorry. And that's a good point, because now we're only going to have Maggie's side of the story, which I'm starting to see her as a really interesting narrator because she has her own motives, right? But I have to say this about Pope, and this is the one thing I will say, is all of a sudden this week, I've been trying to figure out, and I think, Johnny, I think I'd said this to you and Jeffrey at one point, that I kept getting these weird, like, Apocalypse Now vibes and, you know, Heart of Darkness, and I couldn't place it. And then I realized, Ben Kingsley, The Mandalorian, Iron Man 3, except it's religion and not drugs. That was Pope to me. It was the whole, it was like a front.
He looks like him.
A front.
Yeah,
I think he looks more like a Pringles guy.
Yeah, the Pringles guy, yeah, with the mustache. This guy would definitely live in Silver Lake if the apocalypse never happened.
Let me also add to this, because there, another thing that bothered me about this story was Daryl's involvement. We've seen him involved in stuff like this time after time after time. When this happened with Daryl and the Reapers, I was not really thrilled for this because it's way too repetitive for them to come back to the way they structured this story. And the fact, another fact is that I wish I would have saw someone else in that. Put Gabriel in that and then have Daryl reunite with Leo somewhere down the line. That would have been much more interesting to see Gabriel interact with Pope and then have that reunion with Daryl and Leo happen instead of going the way they fucking did.
I also thought that having someone in that chair that nobody really cared about really was a wasted opportunity. I know that they don't want to kill off a whole lot of the cast because a lot of the big names are already gone and a lot of the fan favorites have either taken their leave or been killed off the show, but taking someone from Maggie's group and putting him in that chair for Daryl to torture, I didn't care about that guy.
Nope. I agree.
I didn't either. And my final thing I'll also add is all the stuff that we've had for them for the start on, it makes me wonder, why did they waste their time creating this group if there was going to treat them like this? And is we'll get into it's filler to me. We'll get into the whole thing with the final scene before it blacks out in a bit. But it's just a lot of crap that just came to my head. Pope is not was not a compelling character to me. Not a compelling villain either.
Wow. Hot take. I like it. I like the boldness of it.
I gotta be real.
It's okay. Yeah, I think if they, like when Leah and Daryl ran into that guy with the family in the woods, yeah, that had been Gabriel or something, and they were like forced to kill Gabriel just so like Daryl could save face. That'd be sick. Like, you'd be like, wow, this is nuts. But yeah, this family guy, I don't care about it. Yeah, kill him. I don't know. Kill his son.
Speaking of Daryl. On episode 4, the whole time they was dealing with that whole thing with the burning cabin, I didn't believe a single second he was in danger. Why? Because you got a spinoff coming.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to put him in any kind of danger. And I am, going back to Gabriel for a second, I'm shocked by everything apparently, but I'm surprised that he survived this episode. I was like, oh, someone's definitely dying this episode. And I guess it was Pope, but still, I thought it was going to be one of our own. It was.
The other cameraman died in this episode.
Yeah. We'll get to Alexander in a second. I also thought it was going to be Rosita. I was like, oh, cool. She's going to go out fighting. That's pretty cool. I'll be sad to see her go, but that makes sense. No. But that's okay. I guess we'll get a part two of this fireworks show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt so season 8 to me. Some of the scenes looked like they were shot in Alexandria. Like, you're like, wait, where are we?
Yeah, I was watching with my lady when we got the screener back, and she was even confused. Wait, is this Alexandria or is this the place where the Reapers are? I felt that some of the set design could have been different there.
Yeah, I agree. It looked very similar.
Yeah, and it's hard to keep track of how, I mean, it's been 8 episodes, right? Like, it's been 8 episodes of this whole thing. No one's gotten any closer to any food, as far as I can tell. But the mission itself still isn't over, you know, and that's, right. I think, you know, as we transition into this episode, you know, one of the things that bugs me is that this whole season has revolved around this mission to go get food. And so far, the only food has been that damn horse. That's the only food they found. And that's that, you know, I'm still pissed off about that. That's still a problem in my book, but clearly if she hadn't done that, they wouldn't have food because nobody's come back yet. And you know, when you think about like, here's the thing for me, if I didn't know it was the final season, if I didn't know that these were the last episodes, this story wouldn't have bothered me too much. Now it didn't bother me. Just my quick take on it is it didn't bother me in terms of what happened. What bothered me is it took so long to get to this point and we're still not resolved. Like, this could have been an episode in like maybe episode 4 and you've been like, oh wow, that's, you know, okay, a storm. And now it's really, but 8 episodes to get to this story and still not have, you know, it still doesn't seem like it's resolved because now Leah hasn't really, you know, like, she's kind of assumed the role, right? So
yeah,
there's no resolution here, and we still don't know that there's any food, and we still don't know that this mission has been successful. So that's all we have to look forward to getting into the next third of the season.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest question that was raised at that point was whether or not Leah, what she was going to do, because you knew eventually she was going to choose one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we learned that she didn't choose anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, she like, it's so weird. It's like she killed the leader, but she's like, damn it, Daryl, this is my family. It's like, well, you just killed the leader. So you killed like, I don't.
But Daryl killed random guys. So now it's like, you killed my family. I'm going to try to kill your family again that I just stopped from trying to kill.
Yeah, she like barely gave him a head start. And I guess we're supposed to take that as like romantic. Like, I was like, what?
Dude, let me say something here. This Pope guy talks a big game about military, but yet he didn't see Leah killing him coming from a mile away. You're part of the military. You should have had instinct for that in a second.
Well, he was so deluded, though. I mean, that guy, like, he was so into this delusion of his that I actually believe that, because I don't think the writing was on the wall, right? Like, as soon as he put that guy in the fire, Leah's mind, I think, was already starting to turn and think, we can't keep doing this. Like, these are, because I think deep down she does care about some of those people, not all of them, but I think some of them she did have genuine connection to. So to be with someone who would so willingly sacrifice them, you know, and the dude who goes out and tries to lead the walkers away when Pope doesn't really care that guy is gone, I think that cemented it. She needed to do something. And then the question becomes, if she does something, what does she do after that? Does she go with Daryl? He's given her an olive branch and said, hey, you can come with us. You can be, you know, part of our group. She didn't take that. And I think that's a really interesting thing, because I've said this before, and I know it's not the popular thing, but I was actually really interested in having her stick around. And I mean, she's still a part of the crew. She's not dead. She's nine. She's part of the cast. But I'd be interested to see how that dynamic shifted everything else, because everything else is so weird relationship-wise. And I say relationship in the most general sense of the word, because we all know.
Oh, don't get those shippers after you.
I'm not making a commentary on that.
I've seen a lot of that last year. Oh, boy. But let me also add, let me say something positive. I did like the opening when Negan and Maggie was killing off through those Reapers as Whisperers. I did like that.
Yeah. I like that. And I like their conversation too, where I like how, was this episode or the previous one? I watched them back to back. So I'm sorry.
It was episode 7 when they had that convo. When he told her that he would have done it all again, he would have killed every single one of them in that lineup.
That was awesome. What a cool answer. I was like,
and he should have. It's right.
And I'm glad that they finally addressed it. It's like they were listening to what we were saying on Twitter or listening to my podcast. Because I've always said, everyone always gets mad about Glenn, but it's like they killed dozens of people in their sleep and then a lot and then awake in a satellite. They killed like, what, like 50 of them? And Negan only killed 2 of them? Like, come on.
You're not wrong, Johnny. And it's...
I'm not wrong.
It's very Machiavellian. And I think that it's, you know, I think leader to leader. I think I really admire the respect that he had in that conversation with her. Because it wasn't like an in-your-face, you know, I'm doing this to piss you off kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This was Negan going one-on-one with her. And I think that was something... You know, he could have been a dick about it. He could have been, you know, he could have been Negan, but he wasn't. He was just very matter of fact. Like, hey, this is what, when you're a leader, this is what you do. You protect your people. I should have protected my people better. And that means I should have killed all of your people. Fact. Like,
one thing I think is kind of crappy, though, is that they went through that whole redemption angle with Negan, where he was protecting all the little girls for some reason. All the little girls, he was protecting all of them. And then he goes and he kills Alpha, and it's like, all right, you know, Carol trusted him enough to do it. He went and did it. Sweet. And now he's back to being the bad guy because Maggie returns, and fans are supposed to care about Maggie. I really don't as much anymore, but fans are supposed to care about Maggie. So now that shifts Negan back to being the bad guy because he killed 2 of the people that, you know, viewers cared about, 2 of the fan favorites. And he's stuck in this circle of trying to prove to himself that he's worthy of being in the group, and people just keep shoving him down.
Yep.
You know, I ask this question all the time. I'm sorry if I'm going a little off-related, but about Negan and Glenn. I ask this question all the time because everybody's on Twitter like, oh, he should have never been killed. Well, what would you do if Glenn Fields was still alive? Story-wise, what would you do?
Well, he could have replaced Maggie when Maggie left, and then hopefully Whiskey Cavalier would have been a big hit. That's what we could have done.
Don't get me started on that shit show.
What if?
Oh, God. Johnny, the first time we met, we made a joke about that show.
Wait, about what if?
Whiskey Cavalier.
Oh, Whiskey Cavalier, yeah.
Back in San Diego in 2019.
Listen, I don't fault Lauren Cohan for, you know, going outside of her zone and trying something new. I'm sad for her that it didn't work out.
It was worth a try.
Yeah.
Worth a try, but I talked watching about this. Watching that show, I was like, ugh. Come back to Walking Dead, please.
Yeah. I talked about this in a previous podcast, but I think that, you know, Maggie has been pretty one note this season. It's been just, I'm mad at Negan. It's like, we get it. But like, you got to give her something else. Like, I don't know. She just hasn't been super compelling. I think that's kind of why we feel a disconnect with her. Cause she's, I don't know. I mean, I get it. She's like super jaded. They're all jaded, but.
But the show did give her magic powers to walk through zombie hordes.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Johnny, because I do feel like there needs to be more substance other than why I'm hating Negan for the rest of this season.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like we kind of got some insight, because if you look at the way Pope talked about, you know, he kept saying that woman, like he knew who she was. Like he knew what was going on. So there's a story there. And
there is.
The unfortunate thing is, like I said, we're not going to have his side of the story. And I don't know that we'll get Leah's version of that, but there's something that happened there. And I think I think Negan knows that. And that's why he's just been like, you know, you're putting me in danger, but you're not giving me all of the information. And that's not right, because it's not. I mean, I wouldn't want to go into battle with someone who is pissed off about something else. And she's got, you know, this whole thing of, you know, bringing up the past. Not only is it taking up a lot of time, but it just feels like it's covering something else up. That is something, I think it's compelling. I think there's a reason for all of it. And I hope that it's something big. I hope maybe she did something to them.
Right.
I think, no. Yeah, did something to them, or maybe she even had, this probably isn't true, but if she had like some sort of relationship with Pope, whether it's brief or not, then
interesting.
I don't know if that would happen. But then like maybe she would be withholding that from
Negan. Don't give social media any ideas, please.
God. I think I'm free from the ire of the eye of Sauron. Of that,
all right,
of
I'll reiterate that. Social media. Please don't give AMC any ideas then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I think they got it all sussed out.
Nice.
I kept waiting for the new romantic interest for Maggie, because in the comics, that's kind of one of the reasons why she gets drawn back in, and Dante kind of helps her to do the thing. And it hasn't been on the TV at all, and having her be solo and just mad, it's like you said, it's a one note character that hasn't shown us a lot of diversity at all.
Right. I think, yeah, I guess you're right. I can't remember what I was gonna say.
I was gonna ask, can we talk about the landmine scene?
Sure.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. What was going on there?
I thought it was okay. I did like the way they did it on Fear of the Walking Dead better, though. But
right.
How is it that only two people got scathed and hurt from that?
They borrowed a lot from Fear, I thought. Like that whole scene with Judith and Gracie in the basement. That was very season four of Fear with Alicia and Charlie. And then when Rosita came out after killing all those people in the rain, like she looked just like Alicia. For a second, I did a double take. I thought it was Alicia. It looked just like her. I was like, oh my God. No.
When Alicia was saving like, the Ewok kids that disappeared.
What?
When Alicia was saving the Ewok kids that disappeared.
Yeah. It just like that would have been cool.
You know, speaking of Alexandria, there's another nitpick I have to address. It's raining over there, but it's not at the area where the Reapers are. I'm like, is this taking place at the same time, or is this taking place at a different time?
Well, it's at least a couple of days, right? Because it took them a while to get. They left during the daytime, whenever they left back at the beginning of the season, and then there was the overnight thing in the tunnels. It was nighttime when they went to the tunnels, so we know at least a day passed. So they're at least 1 to 2 days away. So maybe the storm had. Because I was thinking that too, but then I keep forgetting that they're really not geographically.
No, they're not that close.
No, they had to go super far.
Yeah. Wow. So that's probably why it hasn't hit there yet, but it did make me stop and wonder about that, because it is, you know, weather, and it's kind of the same region, but maybe it's coming, and maybe that's something that they run into on the way back, and then all of the food gets wet, and then it's not good.
Mid-season premiere, some rain comes and puts out that wick that's going to send all those fireworks flying, and we're all good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That part. Sorry, weapon, Sarah. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, when he said the weapon that was gonna take care of all of this, I was not expecting Chinese fireworks. I really wasn't. Did not see that happening.
I'm gonna tell you why that annoyed me, because season after season after season for these mid-season finales, it's been the same exact formula. We're in the final season now. Why fuck us over with this strategic way of this formula? We've got cliffhangers, especially for this season. We got cliffhangers all season long, and now we're going to do it and make people wait 4 or 5 months later. I'm like, that's not hooking me in. That's telling me you guys are creatively stifled.
I don't know if it's that, but it was a little underwhelming. They're like, oh, we're shooting the fireworks, and you'll have to wait a few months to find out what happens. It's like, all right, I don't know. I felt like the stakes were even higher in season 8, and that was one of people's least favorite seasons. So.
I love season 8. I'm not going to shit on anyone who hates it, but it was exactly what I wanted as a comic book reader.
Wouldn't it be something though if like Maggie jumps in front of Negan to save him from it or something?
I mean, yeah, I wondered like if one of them was going to die. But I did like the Whisper Mask thing. You know, we always ask, why don't they use the guts trick or the mask trick? Also, like, I don't think cutting someone's face off is like easy. Like they had to have gone through a few faces before. So Maggie's like, this doesn't even fit. And Negan's like, it's someone's face, Maggie. Get a grip. You're wearing a face.
Didn't Alpha make Negan cut a couple masks before he got it right?
You
know what? Sure. Arts and crafts. Like that was, you know.
I just can't imagine that's easy. I mean, I haven't put too much thought into it, but that's gotta be careful hands. I mean, you know, I don't know.
When you usually dry stuff like that out, like I would think that would be like all wet. Like when she pulled the mask off, like her face was dry. If it was a fresh, I mean, not enough time has passed to tan the hide. Like, no, that's not, you know, you need more time than that. But I did think it was clever. I have to say, like, cause I pay attention to things like it was clever that was how Daryl was able to spot them, because he knew, like, that was a tell that they were in the crowd, because you could see the eyes and stuff. He knew what was happening, and I thought okay, that's a really cool trick to use. But it you know, here's a question, because I just had, as you guys were talking, I was thinking about this. So there's 24 episodes, right?
Yeah,
right. They decided to divide it into 3, but what if they had decided to divide it into 4 and episode 6 had been the mid-season finale?
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Totally fine. That's too many breaks. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, that aside, you know, logic aside, Johnny, just in terms of where the story was, if they stopped there, do you feel like you would have had the same sense of like, wow, that was a really good mid-season finale, as opposed to where we are right now? Because none of us really seem to be overwhelmed by this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think, I think they should have just written a better ending to this. I guess it's a cliffhanger just to be a cliffhanger. Like, it doesn't really, like, I don't know. It was.
It goes back to what I said before. They must be creatively stifled.
I got one more thing to say about the, when Negan was teaching Maggie how to use the mask. Did anyone else want 80s montage music behind that?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fantastic. And wait, so did they get another face? Because then all of a sudden her mask fit. Or did they just like tighten it in the back? Like, how does that work? Like,
it looked like he altered face. The back.
Yeah, yeah. I think he used laces or something.
Yeah. I don't. Man.
Okay. This episode as a whole for me did not really. Sorry, what did you say, Sarah?
Oh, I said someone call a taxidermist and ask this question because I want to know now. And I feel like you'd get arrested if you asked that question. I'm trying to do research here, okay? I had to research the batter using the nail polish.
Yep.
These are important things. Like,
I trust you to do all my Walking Dead research.
Please.
So I'll take one for the team and call a taxidermist this week and follow up next week with how you would take a face off and make a mask.
I can't remember. How much do people know about Virgil? Like, not in much. The group? Not much, right? Like, when Judith's like, hey, how's my mom? He's like, I don't know. I just drugged her. Sorry. left her to die. Not exactly the best person to ask.
He didn't exactly reassure her very much either.
Yeah, like, they're trying to, like, do this whole redemption arc for Virgil, and I'm just like, I guess.
Okay. I thought for sure he'd talk about how proud he was that, she raised such a good girl, and how Michonne went above and beyond to help him, and I know they kind of touched on that, but,
yeah,
man, they missed an opportunity to really make him shine there.
Well, this whole I feel like they really jumped into this whole Alexandria story when their arrival, think of that. I mean, I think we talked about this in a previous podcast. Their arrival would have been Virgil saying, yeah, I was with Michonne and she found these boots and she was going to go.
Right.
I mean, that.
Oh, and found an iPhone.
Yeah.
With a carving of what Judith looks like now, not when how he remembers her.
Exactly. So this
was weird
thing. Like, how do you gloss over that? Because obviously, like, Judith is familiar enough at this point with Virgil, so that he's been there at least a couple of days, I would think, for her to, you know, at least know who he is. I mean, so why did they skip over that?
I think she probably just knows that he's the last one that saw Michonne
alive. And they spent so much time with trying to show how much Michonne was missed, and with the teasing of the kids and the breaking of the handprint art. I mean, they took all that, and I don't think there's going to be any payoff whatsoever.
Mm-mm. We'll see. I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm hoping they bring Danai back in like the finale, or I hope she has a really good reason in the Rick movies. I'm sure she'll show up in one of them, because it's so out of Michonne's character to just like cut off all communications with her kids. Like, even I know it's the apocalypse or whatever, but you'd think she'd find a way, but who knows? Maybe they'll just be like, oh, she was captured. I'm sure she's captured.
So,
or she's with that group.
Sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
No, it's okay. I'm done.
So I said on Twitter, and I'll say it again here, I think this was the weakest midseason finale I've ever watched. And this is me being a fan from day one, going back to the comics and in the show. I felt like nothing was resolved here, and they did that cheap cliffhanger for the fuck of it, just so we could be like, hey, we need more subs for AMC Plus. That's why I believe they did that. Awful, awful, awful. That's another episode I'll never go back on.
I'm trying to think back to the other midseason finales.
I'll do a real quick recap. Season 10 was Season 10 was the cave. I was at least intrigued by that because I wanted to see who would get out. Season 9 was when Jesus died, which is also one of the most shocking deaths I've ever seen.
That was one of the best, for sure.
Yeah.
Season 8 was what the whole thing with Carl and Negan bombing Alexandria. Yep, good episode for me. Season 7 was when Spencer's guts got cut out.
Ooh, then, you're right. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Then Rick and Daryl reunited. At least that didn't end on a cliffhanger.
That's true.
Season 6.
Yeah, there have been some good ones. There have been some really good ones, and this one, but see, like, it's not really, it's the first of two, like, so maybe the next one will be better. Like, it just, for all of the time they had to plan this episode, this season, for all of they wrote the pandemic episodes, and for, you know, knowing that they were going to end the season or end the series, for all the time they had, it really just seems like a weird decision to spend all of this time, a whole 8 episodes. I mean, you know, I always use the example of real estate. Like, this real estate is way too valuable to be 8 hours of this. And, you know, everything was getting really interesting in the Commonwealth. I mean, I think we can all agree, like, You know, do we want to see them going through this really scary storm? Which, yeah, it's scary, but we know, these things happen. Like, it was kind of, that story was kind of underwhelming, and it had some bright spots. But then I think we can all agree that it was a major facepalm when Gracie had to go off and find a weapon all of a sudden. Because, you know, like,
we needed someone to be in trouble.
Reasons, that's why.
I will defend the Connie Haunted House episode, though. I did like that one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was good.
That was a great episode.
That was like, hey, let's make a horror movie with, like, you know, zombies that actually are like sentient. I don't know, the feral people. That was so weird.
But, it was weird, but I enjoyed it. I don't know why.
It was great. I'm like, yeah, of course. I was like, hell yeah, there's feral people, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I also got to give up to the sound effects team for that episode too. It was amazing with distinguishing between Connie's sound of view versus the normal way.
I was lucky enough to be on the podcast after that episode, and it was so much fun talking about that because all three of us had almost nothing but positive things to say about that episode.
And now look at us.
And I love that episode. I should have been on that for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this, and it's hard because, like, I don't want to, credit where credit's due, but this was not a great episode. Let me rephrase that. It would have been a great episode if this wasn't the last season, if it wasn't a mid-season finale, and if it led to something more than just, we're still not sure where the food is and what the mission was, and none of the things that were supposed to be resolved, you know, that typically get resolved in mid-season finales, like, none of that happened. So if all of those things were out of the equation, I don't think it would have bugged me so much, but it is a really weird place to put, to bring an end to the season.
To make people wait.
Feel natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I cursed enough about this episode.
But I have to say,
fucking over it. Sorry.
Wow.
I have to say there were some bright spots, though. I mean, I think we all can agree that Rosita moment. I personally kind of felt like she got bit. I don't know. She came in a real big hurry, and she looked like she was, I mean, obviously you want to get out of the Walker storm, but I'm not entirely sure she's okay. Did anybody get that vibe that, you know, maybe there's something?
Here's the vibe I got. I didn't think that she was bit, but I think the way that she knocked the door could have been done differently. Like, if I'm coming back after seeing Walkers, I'm banging on that door. I'm not going to knock on it like I'm bringing pizza in.
Yeah, that was a choice. And I think, I mean, there were a lot of really interesting decisions. Like, I had to laugh at the whole, like, let's go upstairs thing, because that never works well.
Horror movie cliche.
Yeah, that was like, it was like they just wanted people to just roll their eyes. So you had them going upstairs, the kids went downstairs, and everybody screwed, because, you know.
I'll admit, I'm not the biggest Rosita fan. I feel like her character has been so underused for so long, and they've been using her as a vehicle for all these other characters try to get raised up. And it was nice to see her get a little bit of focus in this episode, because I really stopped caring as much about her as I should for a character that's been around this long.
Yeah, she's like that plant you always forget to water, and then you're like, oh shit, this thing's gonna, okay. And then you water it, and then you forget again. And, you know, they'll show it love occasionally. Yeah, it is a shame. And, you know, Christian Serratos is, you know, becoming a lot bigger in her own right with the Selena series. So I think they probably felt bad, because they're like, you're right, we haven't done a lot of Rosita stuff. And I think they're pretty aware of how people talk on social media. I would imagine.
Because I want more Rosita. I want more Aaron. I want more of these other characters.
They need to do more with Rosita. We've gotten a good amount of Aaron, I think.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
They need to do more with Rosita, because Kristen's a great actress. And whenever she's on these scenes that have a lot of talking with her, whether it's her and Carol or someone else, she really delivers it.
Mm-hmm. She's great with the action too. Her action sequences are some of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if she died, I think it would make sense for the story. I don't want her to. Love seeing Christian. I wish they'd just do more with her character. But if you're not, then just kill her off. It's weird because in the comics, spoiler alert, mostly everyone survives, like, through the end, you know?
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see if they go Game of Thrones style and start, you know, killing people off. We'll see. Which actually brings me, I don't know if you guys are ready to move on to this, but what you guys think is in store for the second third of this season.
I got a good prediction, and it goes back to the article I wrote last year. It was around the same time when the George Floyd protests started happening. Does anyone think that the Commonwealth protests would happen? If it does, would the world be ready for it?
Yeah, I think so. This is some insider info, but the Commonwealth wasn't not inspired by current events at the time. I'll leave it at that. And so, especially like the, you know, the family dynamic, the power dynamic. Yeah. I think we're going to see the Commonwealth in Alexandria at Hilltop. And it's going to be interesting merging those stories. If we're done with the Reapers, great. But I guess Leah's sticking around. I don't know. We'll see. I imagine Leah will die in the next episode. But maybe
I don't see her becoming the leader of the Reapers and having them go after the people in Alexandria, especially with Daryl. I don't see that happening.
No, yeah. I don't either. Especially since they got, what, less than 10 members left?
Yeah.
They're pretty much out at this point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what
it's hard to know what's going to happen at all, because I just don't really understand what Leah's thing is here. Does she really feel more comfortable with this small group of people that she really doesn't know that well, that were all gathered under just an absolute batshit crazy leader? And is she feeling better with those people by her side than Daryl and Daryl's group, that she actually cared about Daryl?
Unless she's setting that up. I mean, it for a minute, I thought she was setting it up so that he could get away and then she could maybe meet back up. But then she got really upset about the lie. And then, you know, that changed the perspective. But I kind of saw, I mean, I feel like she wanted that at one point, like she was ready to do it. I mean, certainly the scene where she was, you know, decided, you know, told the father and son to leave so that she can kill the mom, you know, and get them, like, that was showing Daryl something, like she was ready to make a change. But then this is a really weird, like, I never got the impression that she was after the power, you know, like she didn't seem like she wanted to be in charge of the Reapers. So it's a weird thing to kind of assume that role so quickly, unless there's something going on.
She definitely moved right into giving orders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she sure did, especially when you lit those firecrackers up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was wild. I would just stay away from that. I mean, they're aiming one direction. I guess they're fireworks. They go in all different directions, but
Elijah's
it's a pretty
die.
Crazy That's weapon.
Here's my prediction. 1109, Elijah's going to die by either protecting Negan or Maggie.
Oh, Elijah's 1,000% dying.
Yeah, he's gone.
They got to have some casualties.
Wasted potential with him. Wasted potential.
You don't have a firework cannon and everyone survives. I'm sorry. Someone's dying.
Well, Gabriel only has one eye, so he wouldn't see them coming necessarily. So they're coming from that direction.
I had one side note. I just noticed in this episode, Diane is still alive. How is Diane? I mean, Diane is awesome. She's a great archer, you know, way left over from the kingdom. Or kingdom, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Still alive. Couldn't believe it. She just shows up every, like, you know, 11 episodes. And then you're like, oh my God, Diane?
Hey, Nabila's popping up too. You never know.
Yeah. And that's kind of the problem. And I just wrote a thing about Fear season 7. And I that's why I think I appreciate the anthology format so much more, because you get to see characters more than just like Nabila walking up the stairs or Diane holding the door. Like, you know, you get to see a little bit more than just that. And I feel like the cast has gotten so big. I mean, unless you're going to start killing people off. I mean, when I think about this episode, I think about like Ross Marquand and Melissa McBride were there in the beginning. And they're like, okay, we're going to go do this. And then they left. And then, you know, like they had to come to set for that. Like that went through my mind. Like you were just there to do that. And you weren't even part of this thing. Like it just, you know, I feel like they do need to thin the herd a little bit, as much as it pains me to say, because I can't, you know, I can make an argument for anyone to live or die, but at this point it's just too big.
Why does everybody always bring up Gabriel right away when it's character?
Because he should die. He's done. And also Gabriel is so inconsistent with his religious beliefs. He's like, God's not here, and then he's like, guys, we have to pray for this dead person. We have to say a prayer before we unface these guys.
That's until Gabriel,
where do you stand?
until Gabriel points a shotgun at you.
Yeah.
I thought when Gabriel was doing the sniping thing, I was like, oh, cool. Like, Gabriel's going to have a cool moment before he goes out. Nope, still alive. I love Seth Gilliam. It's nothing against Seth Gilliam. But I think the Gabriel character, I think we've milked that cow. We've gotten everything we need off of him.
I think the Gabriel stuff on that subway car door when he wasn't going to open it. I was not expecting that from him because I know his character is wishy-washy, but at that point in time, he was still kind of the, I'm loving God, I'm loving everybody. And just to say, nope, that door ain't opening, it kind of shocked me.
I agree. If Gabriel and Rosita are the last people standing in the show, I'm going to do this podcast, but I'm going to be plastered.
Yeah, and I need to beat it. It's going to be that one.
It's going to be a complete shit show. We all know Judith is going to be the last one standing.
You know, I didn't want to bring up.
She hangs out with Grace.
701 real quick, but I thought that was a really great episode. To me, 701 for Fear is what happens if a villain debuted on a season premiere for own standalone episode. So I love that one with Strand.
I'm ready to jump over to Fear very quickly.
Oh, sorry, you didn't see it yet? I'm so sorry.
Oh no. I've seen it. I don't know that these
I think I'm the only one that hasn't.
I have not seen it. I haven't seen Fear or World Beyond yet. I
did watch
World Beyond. I will see it eventually. But yeah. Oh, sorry, my dog.
You can watch World Beyond for free on AMC Plus right now, I believe.
Yeah. Do you guys have the same problem with AMC? Well, I guess you guys get screeners, so maybe you don't. But on AMC Plus, you have to log in like for everything you do. It's really annoying. I'm not a fan of AMC.
Ronnie has a makeup pass for that's Toby had that issue.
It's awful.
Yeah, I don't even have AMC Plus, to be honest with you. So that's why I don't live tweet because I'm on the West Coast. So there's no point to live tweeting because I can't watch it with everybody else. So that's okay. But yeah, there's good stuff coming in Fear. I'm talking to the cast tomorrow. I'm excited about that. But it's so different. And I feel like they're making up, you know, honestly, I will say this, and this kind of addresses Johnny, your point about, you know, paying attention to things on social media. I really feel like the Fear people are listening in a way. Like, I know that, like, they're not going to change the story for people on Twitter, but they are. It feels like they're listening in a way that The Walking Dead isn't, if that makes sense. Because
I was out on Fear after the Filthy Woman stuff. I was like, okay, I'm done.
That was a long time ago.
And then they turned things around.
We don't talk about that anymore. We don't talk about Martha. Why did you say that name?
Hey, Johnny, we don't talk about her unless we talk about the day she ran a social media account.
Oh, she ruined. Do you guys know about that?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh
my God. The Instagram takeover. And she completely,
it was funny.
She posted like 40 times in AMC. Like, I knew Amanda Stonehall, who ran the account at the time, was like freaking out. She's like, what are you doing? She's like, here's my drink. Here's me doing this. I'm in the grass now. It's like, what is happening?
Yeah, no, it's weird. I think tonally, there is such a big difference between the shows now. And I think the first part of season 11 really put into perspective quality and planning and the way stories are going right now. And I feel like you see it so much different. Like, I definitely saw it with the first two episodes of Fear in season 7. Like, you definitely, there's a quality thing that they're paying attention to, and they want these episodes to be really good. Obviously not everybody's going to love them, but I don't feel the way I feel about season 11 watching those episodes. I feel like they're moving way faster and, you know, trying to move forward in a way that we're not in season 11. But
do you feel the first group of episodes from season 11 are laying the foundation for what could be some good episodes to come or some good character development to come? Because right now, based on what I've seen in those episodes, I'm not 100% sure I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah. Unless, I will say this, unless season 11, unless 1109 is like, Alexandria is destroyed, we have to go do something, we're going to go to the Commonwealth.
Yep.
And that's how that happens. Because right now there's really, like, if the people staying at Alexandria, it's not worth it.
Oh, that's an easy, they're starving. We have no more supplies. Commonwealth has too many supplies. let's all move there. And then let's just carry the story on from there. If Leah does stick around, and I guess I'm just remembering on her Instagram, she's always too revealing on her Instagram in terms of how much she shows that she's on the set. Maybe they allow it, I don't know. But it looked like she was doing makeup, like bloody makeup the other day. And I think they're in the middle of shooting the back half of the second, third. That's so stupid. but so maybe she's still around, and maybe she is like, if she becomes like the new leader of the Reapers and like, you know, Daryl has a relationship with her, but she decides to be ruthless and bring them back to like a less crazy or, you know, less misguided place, you know, that could be interesting, I guess. But
no, I'm also starting to feel for the cast. They've been filming since February, and we're about 8 months after that now. They must be burnt the hell out now.
I bet.
Yeah. Which is why I'm
saying the second, third is a lot like saying the 18th week of the NFL. You know, it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
No, it's a weird time, and I have to say, when we all talked earlier. I never expected our conversation about the mid-season finale to go this direction. You know, weeks and weeks ago when we were talking about 1105, 1106, like we were having very different conversations. And so to be here right now having this conversation says something. So I'm really interested in how this all pans out for the future and for 1109 and the second, third, and the third, third, and all of
when,
that.
When is the, do we know when it comes back? Because it's because we're showing these episodes really early.
I believe we're going to find out this Sunday when they air it on cable networks.
What would you guess, February?
I would say they go back to February, and then it would be like the regular. So then it would be back in October for the final.
Isn't it usually like the week after the Super Bowl?
But usually this is like the week. New York Comic Con week is the week that usually the first episode of the season premieres. So. Right. I guess they pushed it back because they have three parts that they want to get done by the end of next year. So yeah, February probably does make sense.
Well, because then they get that would get them back next week. That would get them back next year to where they were, because Fear, the second half of Fear. Well, Fear is still going to be kind of a weird one, but they could do the second half of Fear after the second third of Walking Dead.
And when does the second of World Beyond come in this?
Right now,
World Beyond is just no. World Beyond is just one, right?
Yeah, it's just we're in the second.
Okay. One last thing I'll have to say about the mid-season finale is, how are they going to, what's going to be the first scene that's going to play on our screens when this comes back? Because they show when those damn fire darts is going out. What are they going to show immediately when this episode starts?
Judith. They're going to shoot. Go to Judith. They're going to make us wait for that cliffhanger.
Possibly. I'll go the other route and just say that, you know, it'll be like black and you'll just hear like little, like, you know, firework explosions, and then they'll bring it up and
smoke be running, everywhere, and bodies everywhere.
Yeah, kind just, of like I that. Just, what, I just what episode pray was that? Episode three? Sorry, go on, Julian.
Sorry, I was going to say, I just hope there's some good consistency with that, because the last time they did that earlier this season with the Reaper's attack, it wasn't that consistent when the next episode happened.
Plot twist, the storm in Alexandria arrives and puts out the fireworks.
Oh yeah, I already predicted that one, boom.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I kind of want to see the firework thing in action, honestly. I just want to, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a video game weapon. Like, it's so stupid. I love it.
Military with fireworks. They should have had damn RPGs and bazookas.
Well, it is pieces of rebar and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Kinds of stuff, yeah.
I guess.
Overall, I think this finale, the rating for me, is A-. I said A-. Sorry, F-.
I was going to say all A-. That talking and all right.
What are you, IGN?
What the hell am I?
You just talk about like how much you hate it. And then
I rate
like,
shows on a scale from A-plus to A-.
I excuse myself, everyone. Sorry for that. It's been a long day in New York.
I know. I just think it's fun.
F-. That's pretty low considering some of the duds we had. I don't think I would rate it that. I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10.
C-. Sounds good to me.
C-. Sounds good. There's way worse episodes of The Walking Dead out there. This was a disappointing mid-season finale. If this was a regular episode, I don't think we'd be as mad at it.
Right.
But, It's no Venom 2. Can we talk about that for a second? Good Lord, what a waste of time.
What a show that was. I hated that.
That's worse an F than minus. The first one. That is an F minus.
The last superhero movie I watched was Iron Man 2, so I'm out of this conversation.
Oh my God, Adam. You live under a rock? I'm
just
I'm actually jealous of you.
Let's get away from this Zoom.
Donnie, we'll steer away from Venom. I just wanted to get in my quick Venom take. It ain't good.
You're Venom on Venom. I get
good
it.
Good God. Good.
But at least we all got Squid Game.
Yeah, thank God. That's a good one.
The Glass Bridge game is the best one to me.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. You like that better than the dice or the marbles?
Yes.
Oh, marbles got me good.
The plot twist in marbles got me. I thought that was clever.
That was a good one. All right.
There's a lot of stuff coming up and I'm really excited. I mean, it's exciting to have so much Walking Dead on, but I think it'll be a nice little break. You know, we're all kind of showing that we're watching other stuff too. And I think that's healthy.
Oh yes.
And, you know, that's definitely a good thing. And so just to wrap up real quick, let's go around and tell everybody where we can find you, what you're doing, what you're working on, and where to find you on social media. And then we will wrap up this conversation, but I hope it's not the end because I think we need to come back for the mid-season premiere and maybe get some kind of vindication.
I cannot wait.
See, when I come back, I just hope I don't come into this episode blowing a gasket. I hope I don't. Who wants to go first?
You go for it, Julian.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JulianXcalibur. If you're wondering why I chose that name, it's because it is my very first Xbox gamer tag back in 06. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at Julian Cannon, my normal name. And all my Walking Dead stuff goes on Alternative Minds, and all of my entertainment / other TV stuff goes on The Nocturnal, which is also going to be the outlet for all this stuff going on at New York Comic Con. So I'm doing pretty much that. This week, I'm publishing my review for this episode, along with a video game review called Unmetal, which was an interesting take on a classic Metal Gear series. So I got that and my Halloween Kills review coming up.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. How about you, Johnny?
Well, I used to work for The Walking Dead. Now I'm at the Shorty Awards, and I also have my own YouTube channel, just like Julian. I carried over the React compilations I was making at Skybound, and they're now on my own channel. I'm covering shows like What If, Invincible, and Walking Dead. So please subscribe to that, and you know, have a nice day.
You know, Johnny, you might fight me for this, but I did not like Marvel Zombies episode.
That's okay. I thought it was pretty okay.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but I thought that story could have been different.
Yeah.
But the Doctor Strange episode, I did love.
Yeah. Adam doesn't know what the hell's going on.
I did watch Invincible. I can talk about that.
There you go.
But you can catch my work over on The Viking Age. That's where I talk about the Minnesota Vikings, and I do most of my work. I still am over at Undead Walking every once in a while, publishing some articles. Not too often, though. Otherwise, MN Viking Zombie on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and YouTube. I do the Purple People podcast every week where we talk about the Minnesota Vikings. I also do horror movie reviews, which are a lot of fun. I do that with my friend Kyle West and Kyle Smith. And it's just a good time all around. So if you like pictures of cats, hit up my Instagram because there are a lot of them.
Wow. That's like the best plug I've ever heard.
Adam's always good for a plug. I'm surprised his cat can make a cameo because his cats usually come in and
cats, and Vikings, and zombies.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, that's the reason I'm MN Viking Zombie. You got to combine the good stuff. And I made that when I was living in Minnesota, too, and now I'm back in Michigan. So it's not that good, but I'll still take it.
Yeah, there you go.
It works. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining me on this this adventure so far.
Thanks, Sarah Beth.
I definitely want to have you guys back and have more to talk about. You guys can
thank
find
you
me
so
on
much.
Twitter. Oh, you're so welcome.
And you know what? Your hair looks great. I don't know what you did, but it looks wonderful.
Oh, well, I just dyed it pink. So that's why it's,
very
so
nice.
I just dyed it. I'm going to a premiere thing tomorrow, but I can't tell you what it is, but the thing. So I just had to have pink hair because I'm not going to Sammy Hagar's birthday party, but you know.
What can do? I didn't get an invite either. Don't feel bad.
But thank you guys so much for joining me. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Sarah Beth Pollock. I've got tons of interviews coming. I just talked to the casts of World Beyond, and there's some interviews floating around, I think, already on Winter is Coming, and then we're doing Fear the Walking Dead, that'll be on Hidden Remote. I never know where I am these days, but if you put my name, you'll find it, because it's somewhere. It's just not Undead Walking. You won't find me there, but you'll find me everywhere else talking about The Walking Dead while hosting the Undead Walking podcast. Don't think about it too much. I try not to. Anyway, thank you guys so much. And remember to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe, leave reviews, send questions. And thank you for listening. And as a reminder, stay safe, wash your hands, and watch out for those walkers. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Awesome. Bye-bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.